The following presentation, Threat to Services and How They Fit Within the Janet Information Security Landscape, was given by Henry Hughes of Janet at Network Shop 42 in April 2014.
So, before Threat to Services, how many people in the room at your institution, have a show of hands, have a security policy? You all have to have one. This is such a trick question. You've got to have one as part of the AUP. So everyone's hands up on the security policy. How many organisations are working on an information security policy or have work in that specific area? It's about half the room, a little bit more. Okay, that's great. Anyone planning certification working towards 27001 or what are the other information security standards? Six, seven, handful. Okay. Useful, thank you. Okay, in terms of threats to services then, I want to look, to take a pause and step back and look a little bit at the landscape. There's a lot of discussion around this area in different bits of government. There's lots of areas where people are getting quite concerned, quite concerned and quite nervous. And I think the backdrop of the last few presentations would give you cause for concern. So I want to step back and have a look at the landscape and the environment. I then want to look at some of the challenges I think we face and then finish up describing some work that hopefully, subject to final sign-off and confirmation in the next week or so, some work that's starting later this month. We're also looking for people who wish to participate in that work, so anyone who's interested in piloting it with us and developing some of the systems that I'll be talking about, looking for volunteers, so bear that in mind as we go through. So in terms of background, what's available, what's the national position? The NAO published a report in February 2013 looking at the government's cybersecurity strategy, I hate that term, but anyway. And it was a landscape review, and they broke the key findings down into opportunities and threats, and they said, well, they expect 3 billion people to be using the internet by 2016. They claimed from their figure work that internet economy accounted for 8% of GDP. I don't believe a word of it. I think it's a lot higher. But I think their metric and how they defined it was really quite tightly defined in terms of an organisation that was completely, its whole business was online, there was nothing else. So if you take a broader view, I think it's much bigger. That was a bit of a startling figure for me. Value of the UK internet economy. Back in 2010, these figures obviously lag somewhat. I was surprised by that as well. You can see that's quite good news. Number one in the G20. In terms of threats, they were counting, or they found evidence for 44 million cyber attacks in 2011. They claim 80% could have easily been averted. Possibly. This again I think is more interesting for those of us who have to work in an area where we're seeking budgets to do work to put more defensive capability in place. I think that's quite a frightening figure, and yeah, it's in the top few national risks. So that sets some national background. Can we find other information, other background figures that give us a starting point in this position? So again, BIS. Another one in my folder of reports. I've got a huge stack of them. This looked in more detail. It's an independent report that Business Innovation and Skills, Department of Business Innovation and Skills commissioned. It's done by PwC, and it was a survey. They've done a number of them. And this was a survey that went out to over 1,000, well, got responses for over 1,000 organisations. And again, I'm just picking out some findings. Breaches were the highest ever level. In terms of their respondents, the number of breaches had increased, as had the average. This was slightly worrying. I'll come back to ask afterwards how we relate this to our sector a bit more specifically. But that's, yeah, yeah, if you want to justify budget, useful. In terms of how we think about this, in the broader context of the report, they were saying that the problems from insider attacks were almost the same as outside, and there's a lot of evidence to suggest they're critical. There's a substantial threat there. Again, whether that translates directly, I don't know. I'd be actually we'll do that one. How many people have had substantial internal attacks in the last year? One. Anyone else? No. Okay. So we're not, as a sector, at least in this sample, matching up. About 20%, and you can read this two ways. You can definitely have a difference of view on this one. 20% of large organisations detected actual penetrations on their networks. Now, you could say, what's going undetected? Or you could say, given the investment in the area, that's not necessarily a good outcome. So, and that was really, if you roll that forward on average per year, this is why I think you'll find some bits of government are getting quite concerned. So the other bit, and where this, I think, survey goes a bit further than other ones, is it started to look at the question of, if you're trying to invest in security, how do you justify it? How do you define your success criteria? How do you measure the effectiveness of your spend, the return on investment? And I think that's extremely difficult. And both the NAO and this report both cite this as a difficult area. In terms of how this report went at it, they decided they couldn't measure effectively the investment in security because it cut across so many different budgets in the business. So if you go to our earlier speakers on building management systems in estates, that's got a, should have, hopefully, a security budget associated with it at some point. Other bits of the of campus infrastructure should have some security associated with it. So once you start looking at the bigger landscape, it's very difficult for them, during the survey, for them to get it, because you're asking an individual and it's going across an organisation's budget. And if you go up high enough to get the organisation budget, you probably won't get the response to the survey. So what they did is they took, they used the percentage of IT budget allocated to security as a way of indicating, as a sort of a, as a metric here, and it was 10%. A third of all respondents didn't try and measure effectiveness at all. We do it. The most common approach was to say we had this many incidents, it cost us this much money, or the ones that were the ones that were actually breached. And only 12% were trying to calculate any ROI. So I think we can see there's useful background, but how valid are the comparisons with this particular sector? Well, 84% of the respondents were from the education sector broadly. That was 6% of the total survey there. If we look at our data coming out of CSIRT, we see a growth in incidents. Now, again, you can look at saying, well, if we're recording more incidents, is that because people are better at detecting them? Is that because people are better at reporting them? Or is that because they're going up? And that's not as easy to answer as it might seem to start with. There was a conference late last year that UUK hosted, where CPNI were speaking, and they wouldn't give in particular figures out other than to say that they were working with a greater number of organisations suffering what they consider significant incidents. There is quite a lot of anecdotal evidence to suggest it's not all being reported, so we don't even know the scale of the problem. And so, having put all that together, where should we go? How should we respond? How should we organise ourselves? We are developing some work that's been ongoing now in the background for a district-wide security strategy. You should see that come out, fingers being crossed, next couple of months. It'll go through a consultation phase. Please have a read. Please give us some feedback. It's only valuable if it's valuable to you. I think it takes us into the realms of information security. We need an organisation-wide approach. With rooted in the governance of the organisation. It's an age-old one, but I think it's very true. If you're dealing with any incident, as the other previous speakers have said, it's about coordination, it's about collaboration, about getting to your upstream supplier, it's about getting to the, those who are providing ISP services to other third parties. And I think we need quite a lot of work to actually characterise impact. In the longer term, if that we see a continual growth in this area, we'll need continual investment, continual building of skills, continue building of systems, and we need to get that onto a foundation that starts to talk about return on investment, because it starts to talk about quite significant amounts of money to do some of the work that's necessary in this area. And we need to be able to, I think, more accurately characterise the actual threat environment that we actually see, and be able to baseline that. So if it changes every year, and you say, well, this year we had X number of compromises, if you want to look at it that way, or this number of incidents. So next year, if that goes up, did you do better? Did you do worse? Do you need to be able to sort of net present value type thing? I think we need to be able to do something in terms of a baseline comparator. And there's an awful lot of information out there. There's a lot of information about vulnerabilities, not least building management systems. but there's a lot of vulnerabilities out there, and you can just completely sink in all the information that's available. So we need to focus and prioritise the areas which we're working in, and we need to do that based on what we actually see in terms of incidents, so intelligence-led approach. So some scene setting. Subject to the final steps of sign-off in this area, there is a development programme starting later this month. It will be a three-year programme. It's looking to develop a whole range of system services, processes, support information, and I'll just take you through the main areas. And we're looking, as I said earlier, for those interested in helping us to develop, pilot, test, and ultimately deploy these systems and services. So the first area of work is around aggregated vulnerability information. Can I see a show of hands of how many people at the moment buy vulnerability information? How many people do that at the moment? One organisation. Okay, so does everybody so how many people are actually on the cert list in terms of getting vulnerability information? Half, three quarters. Oh, that's good news. Okay, all right. So we're looking at what we can do in terms of aggregating vulnerability information in a more automated way, and I'll say a little bit more coming up. At the moment, there are some automated systems in use, but a lot of systems are manually based. In the future, I don't think we'll have the luxury of being able to have manual processes in place for doing a lot of this. So we need to be able to automate quite a number of different elements of it. So we need to be able to develop how we collect, classify, prioritise the information that we're getting. We need to look at how we can distribute that information in an automatic way so that you can have the information you need to be able to make decisions and to be able to react. I'm particularly keen to look at, this came up as an idea from an organisation saying, well, hang on a minute, if you're seeing something, why do we have to wait for an email or you to telephone us or something else to go on for us to put in a manual block? Why can't you distribute an automatic update and do some blocking automatically in firewall? So you could see, in concept at least, automatic firewalls being distributed and people updating them and then going back and having a human in the loop later on to say, does this make sense? To be able to take some temporary action, for example, in blocking up front. So can I see a show of hands? How many people are interested in that sort of automated blocking approach or updated firewall rules that can be... Are quite broad. I mean, we can narrow it in terms of requirement at a later date. Okay, so that's about a third of hands. Okay, thank you. This one again was a request. Can we look at developing a capability to provide detailed analysis of customer networks, either on request, please come and do an audit, come and have a look for us. We think this is going on. Or if there's an incident, can you come and do this to either make sure that to help identify the work around managing the incident, or post hoc, can you provide us some third-party check that it's gone away, or help us understand what the problem was. So some areas, certainly requests in that area. Show of hands on that one? Interested in having that one? It's a bit higher. I'm trying to get a feel. Okay, thank you. the usual, and what's nice about some of the government work in this area is that they do realise that skills, training material and general awareness are very, very important. And this, I think, came up in yesterday's information security one about can we do more in terms of shared courses or build information and awareness training that can be more generally disseminated. Coordination is key. And the final one is that we'll be kicking off some work to take Janet through information security certification. And I think that feeds into the broader picture here. I'm going to stop there for time and to allow you to have some questions. Any questions? Yes. Yep. Yeah, I mean, sir, do you want to? Yeah, that's.
If we receive an application from the service desk, that would be the way for that to come through to the service. If it hasn't come from the site that we're hiring, we've got some limited networks to go across from Genesis, so we can see the structure of the practice in the site. Based upon that, is where we would make a decision on what to do in block or from.
But at the moment, this is manual and it's in conversation. And what I'm suggesting is that over the next few years, if we look ahead 4 or 5 years in this space, it may be that what we actually want at that point is for if a credible threat is seen and we can build the intelligence picture and we can say, actually, it's sensible to block this, that people can opt into a set of automated rules. The information's pushed out, firewall's updated, and so it's preventive. We're trying to get on the front foot, not the reactive foot, it's the proactive foot a little bit. So that's where that concept came from. Any other questions? I'm around for the rest of the conference if you want to catch me outside. If you're interested in piloting, developing, testing, or doing anything else in this place, please come and have a chat. My email address was on the first slide, or talk to one of the CERT guys, or indeed put a ticket in through service and reach me that way.
This recording was brought to you by Janet Training as part of NetWorkshop Online. Further information is available on our website at www.ja.net/training.